Both of these verses have the word that we're going to talk about tonight, and that word is diligent or diligently. This is something that we have to do. It just doesn't happen. Life can happen, but if you want a diligent life, you're going to have to make it happen. Learning something, will happen. You'll get it over time. But if you diligently put yourself in it, you might learn it faster or you might learn it better, things like that. And so that word diligent is several places in the Bible. We won't turn to all of them tonight, but we'll obviously cover some of them. But these two will kick off the Bible study tonight. In Hebrews 11:6, it says here, "But without faith," and obviously faith is something that we need. And so faith is the evidence of things hoped for and not seen. So we haven't ever seen God, but we have faith that believe that God is there. And we have faith that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. We didn't see it happen, but we have faith because we've seen it in the Bible. And that's what the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So when we hear the Word of God, that gives us strength in our faith. And so, but we're not preaching about faith tonight, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we need to have it, and it makes God happy with us when we have faith in Him. And then it goes on to say, "For he that cometh to God must believe." And so just like faith is believing, we talked about how baptism was not a part of salvation last Sunday morning, but we saw that believing is a way, is the biggest thing about it. Believing on the Son and hath life, and he that doesn't believe doesn't have life. So believe is important. So we have to believe, and we have to have faith in God. So if we want to, if we cometh to Him, we must believe that He's there and that He is. And it goes and it says here, and that He is a rewarder. And so that's the key here. If we have faith in Him, we're going to get rewarded for that. If we believe in Him, we're going to get rewarded for that. And so if we have all that, that pleases Him. He likes that. And it says here that if we come to Him and we come in faith, believing that He's there, we come in faith, believing He can answer our prayers, He can do whatever we want Him to do, He's going to reward us for that. But here, the rest of it is where we're going to preach tonight. It says here, of them, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if we half-heartedly seek Him, we don't have that promise. If we kind of, get around to it, or we might, just kind of hint towards something. But if we come to Him in faith and believing, and we're coming to Him diligently, in other words, maybe often, maybe several times a day, maybe, I guess, not doing something that we enjoy doing to show Him that we were serious, kind of like the Bible teaches on fasting. All right, I enjoy eating. I don't enjoy fasting. And the only time I've ever fasted is to get God's attention. That was a diligently seeking Him. I wanted Him to know, hey, you know how much I enjoy, and I could list all the foods that I enjoy. You know how much I enjoy all this, and this was on the menu for this week. My wife, she likes to plan out her menus and things like that, and so forth. And God, you know. And so I'm doing without that I love to try to get your attention. I'm diligently seeking you. And the Bible says here, He's a rewarder to them that has faith in Him and believes in Him, and they diligently seek Him. So if we want something, kind of like our prayer requests on Wednesday night and Sunday in Sunday school, we do that often. We do it weekly, two times a week, and we're showing Him that we're not going to quit praying for those things. We're diligently seeking Him, and the Bible says He's a rewarder of those. Now, He might not answer it the way we want to, but He's still going to reward you for being diligently seeking Him. And then Proverbs 11, in verse 27. So Hebrews 11:6 we just read. Now we're going to read Proverbs 11:27. And it says in verse 27, "He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor." And that word procureth is kind of a big word for get or gets. So in other words, if you're diligently seeking God, you're going to get favor. So again, He might not answer in the way we want to, but He's going to give us favor. They believe in Me. Now, this is the situation, and it's not going to. I'm not going to do it the way they want it done, but they're still diligently seeking Me, so they're going to procure favor. They're going to get God's favor, and so we know that in the Bible it teaches His blessing. Blessed are they. Blessed all the Beatitudes. That's kind of like favor. There's several verses in the Bible that says God smiles on us. So in other words, He enjoys or He sees or He appreciates what we're doing. So He smiles on us. That's what procuring favor means. And so if we diligently seek God, He's going to reward us. And if we diligently seek Him, He's going to put favor on us. And so we're going to look at the word diligent here. And it basically means to steadily. In other words, every Wednesday night, we're going to diligently pray and ask God for our prayer requests. Maybe every day there's a personal prayer request that we pray for. Or maybe there's several times. Daniel, he went 3 times to his window and opened it. And he was very diligent in his prayer life. And so if we do that, it's something we're doing steadily, earnestly. In other words, Jesus prayed great sweat drops of blood. I don't know that I've ever prayed that earnestly. I have prayed and been sweating before because I lived in Florida. Especially if you go outside and pray, you're going to sweat. But anyway, I've never sweated great sweat drops of blood. I don't know that I've earnestly prayed that, but I mean, I've prayed, I guess maybe, you know, I hate to say the word, I prayed my guts out before. You know, I was seriously praying. I mean, I wanted, and so earnestly. So if we're going to do something diligently, it's steady all the time or consistent, it's earnest, then it's energetic in our effort. In other words, we're excited about it. And if a kid sees something, you know, you come home from the grocery store and you put the ice cream on the counter, they want it right then. All right? And you usually say no after supper. And they're jumping up and down. They're excited about the prospect of ice cream, and they wish they could have it right now. So, again, this is how we ought to come to God, steadily, with earnestly, energetic, that we're there. And then it says there, even painstaking. That's what diligent means. In other words, if you're working out, physically, that they say that when you're working out, you're tearing your muscle, and your muscle is bleeding a little bit. And when it heals up, that's what creates that muscle mass. That's what makes it stronger. And so no pain, no gain. We've all heard that before. And so we're supposed to seek Him early, the Bible says. And so sometimes that's painful because we want to stay in the bed. And so that we're showing Him steadily, earnestly, energetically, and painstakingly. We want Him. So examples of this would be somebody that's diligent, they're active, they're busy, they're industrious, they're figuring out how to do something, they're laborious, they're gonna put the work in, their time is occupied and they're working. That's somebody that is diligent. An example of somebody that's not diligent is just the opposite of that. They're not energetic, they're idle. They're inactive, they're unbusy, they're unoccupied. And we could even throw some other characteristics in there. They're lazy. That's somebody that's not earnestly seeking Him. That's somebody that's not diligently seeking Him. So, in the Bible, in Proverbs 6:6, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you. God gives us an example of something that is diligent. And He tells us to watch it and to look at it. Go. And in Proverbs 6:6, it says here, go to the ant. All right, and those of you, if you're like my wife, if she gets a red ant bite, she's going to swell up and she's going to itch. And she's going to need a Benadryl. All right, so she probably would not listen to this verse. And she might do it with some binoculars. She wants to stay away from him as far. But the Bible says here, go to the ant, thou sluggard. If you're not diligent, you're being a sluggard. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. And so I don't know if you've ever done this. I had a friend, a redneck friend, and some of their pastimes were to put their hand in an ant bed and see who could leave it in there the longest. I mean, I think I can figure out something a little more fun than that. All right, they just and they just see who's the toughest. And those little red ants just biting them like crazy. And if they were like my wife, they probably would have passed out. But anyway, they would see who could put it in there. But I have knocked an ant bed over before because I don't like them. They do bite you, and so forth. And so I've knocked it over, and none of those ants put their hands on their hips and like, oh, man, we started working a month ago when we got that ant bed, and he knocked it over. Oh, I'm sick of it. I'm not doing it anymore. No, what do? They start going and picking up the pieces, and immediately they diligently start putting their house back together. And if you knocked it down, you know what they would do? They would get right back there and start working. And so that's why God put this verse in there. You know, watch the ant. They diligently work. It takes like 10 or 15 of them to take a potato chip that you've dropped on the ground over to their little house. You'll just see the potato chip kind of looks like it's floating across the ground. And you'll look down there and it's like, 45,000 little ants. And they're working diligently. They work together. And so God says, hey, there's a reminder. If you want something from me, be like an ant. Go after it with everything you have, every fiber of your being. Do it diligently. And so here's a few quotes that I found about the word diligent. It says here, there is no poverty that can overtake diligence. There's no poverty that can overtake diligence. So the Bible talks about that. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, you work at it, and poverty will not overtake you. The best advice for someone who has been promoted, in other words, they've probably been doing something to earn the promotion. So the best advice for somebody that has earned a promotion is keep doing what you did to get the promotion. And so don't be like the person, you know, you're diligent till you get the corner office, and then you go in there, hands behind the neck, and head, feet up on the desk, and just take you a nap for a week or two. You know, you're probably going to get demoted. And so promotion, whatever you've done to do it, to get it, keep doing it. So the man that wants to lead the orchestra must turn his back on the crowd. That was for Brother Derek, but he's not in here to listen to me. All right, I went to see him this last Christmas, and that's what he did to us. He turned his back on us. Why? Because he was directing them. All right, and so that's what we have to do if we're going to be diligent. Don't worry about what the world thinks. Don't worry about what the world says. You just be diligent. Turn your back on them and do what God wants you to do. Three types of young men. We're looking at diligence. There are those that do not do their duties. Maybe you were that kind, or maybe you've raised that kind. It was just hard to get them to do their duties. Then there's those that say that they do their duties, but don't. There's a Bible verse in there. The dad, I'm paraphrasing here, the dad said to his two sons, go out there and work in the field. One of them said, no, I'm not going to. But later he repented and went. And the other one said, okay, yes, sir, right away, sir, I'll go. And he's like, I'm not going. And he left. All right. So, I mean, which one's the best? And so those two sons, but some, they won't do their duties. There's some that will lie about it. And then it says here, there's those that will do their duties plus a little more. That's somebody that's diligent. They do their duties plus a little more. And so forth. That's somebody that's diligent. Take care of the pennies and you take care of the pennies and the dollars will take care of themselves. You take care of the minutes and the hours will take care of themselves. Take care of the days and the years will take care of themselves. So this is what diligence produces. I'll give you one more illustration and we'll get into the outline. It says here, a farmer being at death's door and desiring to impart to his sons the secret of much value, called them to his bedside and said, my sons, I am shortly about to die, and I want you to know, therefore, in my vineyard lies a hidden treasure. I put tons of treasure out there. You dig and you'll find it. And it says the sons left their father's side when he passed away and they began digging. They turned the soil in that vineyard over and over and over again, searching for that hidden treasure, never to find it. But that year it produced the best crop that they had ever seen. And so again, he was trying to get them to do that. And so they got the treasure. And so we have to diligently work. So that's what the Bible says here. That if we want God to do something, we're going to have to diligently come after Him. Verses that I love, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Do all things heartily as unto the Lord. I like to be diligent. And again, there are some people that they're diligent at things that they like. In other words, when I was in high school or junior high school, I was very diligent at sports. I was very, very diligent at lunch. And I was very diligent at talking to the girls. Other than that, I wasn't very diligent. Okay? And so I was diligent only in the things that I liked. We can't be that way. The Bible says we're supposed to be diligent. We ought not go half-hearted. And so there's people like that. They're diligent at their job. They're diligent at their hobbies, but they're half-hearted at their Christian life. The Bible says, whatsoever your hand finds to do. Be diligent in your job. Be diligent in your hobby. Be diligent in your Christian life. So Roman number one, diligently listen. Diligently listen. And if we'll all admit it, we have to listen on purpose. Again, if somebody's talking in a monotone voice sometimes, we'll sit there and we'll glass over and things like that. And it's like Charlie Brown teacher. And so if somebody said, what were they talking about? I have no clue. Why? Because we weren't listening. And so, again, I've heard of preachers like Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, where just billions, I'm not billions, but hundreds of thousands of people got saved hearing that, and he read it in a monotone voice. But it was the power of God on what he was reading and things like that. Now, I want to be exciting. I want to be energetic. I want to try to keep your attention. But if we want God, sometimes we have to diligently listen. Diligently listen. I'm going to read you a verse. Exodus 15, 26. It says here, "If thou wilt diligently hearken," that word hearken means listen, "to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight." So what we're supposed to do diligently is listen, and whatever he says according to his word, do it. "And thou wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought to the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And so, of course, back in the plague times where God was putting plagues on the Egyptians, he kept some of them from the Israelites from it happening and so forth. And so, again, I don't want the judgment of God on me. So I want to diligently listen when the Word of God is being preached, read, taught, whatever. And I want to try my best to do what's right in His eyes, not mine, not what I think, but what He thinks. Why? Because I want God to bless me. And I've used this illustration here before. I've been to the hospital when I was born, when I broke this arm, when I passed this kidney stone. That's it. Okay? And I praise God for that. And I want to live in a way, and I want to keep myself healthy as long as I can so I can please God. Now, a person that has, maybe that's your thorn in the flesh, if you do have an ailment, and he could do that to me if he wanted to. And I would try my best to continue to serve him. But we see that if we want to diligently listen to him and do what he says here he can keep those diseases off of us. Zechariah 6:15 says this, "Diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God." So we're commanded to listen. Listen to God's word. Listen to the Spirit of God. And he speaks with that small, still voice. I can't tell you what the Holy Spirit's telling you, but you know what the Holy Spirit's telling you. So diligently listen. Lord, speak to me. Here's one. And again, I'm going to give an example, an illustration by this. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Spirit of God. And listen to the man of God. Again, not because of who I am, but by what I'm saying. What am I saying? I'm saying what the Bible says. So don't listen to me just because it's me. Because I'm nothing. I'm just flesh just like you are. I'm just a human just like you are. But I'm doing my best to preach what God told me to preach. So listen earnestly and diligently to what God is saying. Number two, we saw number one, diligently listen. Number two, diligently keep. Diligently keep. So, in other words, we're supposed to keep what we've heard. So your teacher has taught you. They ran you through some drills. They ran you through some practice sheets. Why? What were they doing? So you were trying to keep what that lesson that they taught you. So there, in turn, when they passed out the test, you had the answers. Why? Because you kept them. You got them by repetitiveness. You got them by studying. You got them by doing practice drills. You got them by doing study sheets. All the assignments, do the odd numbers in this book tonight. Do the even numbers tomorrow night. What were they doing? They were trying to get you to keep the material so that you could pass the test. So when we go to church, when we read our Bible and we hear somebody else preach it or teach it, we're supposed to listen diligently. Why? So we can keep it. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." That's what David said. I heard enough preaching. I read enough Bible myself. I learned enough principles of the Bible that I kept so that when the devil came and tried to tempt me to do wrong, I didn't. Why? Because I stabbed him, like we've talked about before, with the word of God, that sharp two-edged sword. I kept it diligently. Deuteronomy 4:9 says this, "Only take heed to thyself." We can always say, well, I'm not going to keep any of God's word because I know so-and-so not even saved, and I know so-and-so that drinks, and I know so-and-so that does this. No. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from the heart of all the days of thy life. So the things that God's done in our life from your salvation, to some change that God has helped you make in your life for the better, all those things, you keep them diligently. In other words, work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. When the devil comes to me and says, you're not saved. I got saved when I was 10. I remember calling Jesus, and He saved me. The Bible says He did. And all the things that I've learned from that since then, just get on out of here. I'm keeping that. I'm saved. Leave me alone. God can't provide for you. You're going to starve to death. You're not going to make it in this life. No. The Bible says that He can provide all that I need. You just get on out of here. So that's what we do. We learn those truths and keep them. So listen diligently so you can learn a truth that you can hold on to. So we've seen a lot of things that God's done. Keep it. We've heard of a lot of things that God has done. Keep it. We've been taught a lot of things from the Bible. Keep it. He can provide for us. So we're supposed to keep. Another verse is Deuteronomy 6:17. Diligently keep all His commandments, all His testimonies, all His statutes, all His precepts. And that same verse is found in Psalm 119:4. Diligently keep. I mean aggressively, earnestly, excitedly keep all His commandments, all His testimonies, all His statutes, all His precepts. All right? Whether it be Old Testament or whether it be New Testament, we're commanded to keep it. We're supposed to keep His Word. So in other words, not just the things that we appreciate, not just the things that says, thou shalt not, right? But we're supposed to keep everything that we've heard preached. Again, once the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So when God teaches us much, He requires much of us. So we're supposed to do that. By how? By studying. By using what we've learned. That's why the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Those people that go soul winning or they try to witness to their friends, most of them, I couldn't say all, but most of them never doubt their salvation. Why? Because they've kept it and they're using it. It's kind of like I took a computer class when I was in college. I made an A. Right? Because during that whole course of that semester, I was going and changing this and making spreadsheets with this and creating flyers with this and things like that for those assignments. But I hadn't done it since my junior year of college. Okay? So now I look at a computer and I want to just hit it, all right, or shake it like an Etch-a-Sketch. Well, and so, Sharon, come fix this. All right? Why? Because I haven't kept using it. I've lost it. And things like that. Now, I can type on there and print out sermons, things like that, and I can print emails and so forth. I can do a little bit, enough to get in trouble. But if we don't do it over and over, we lose it. Some of you maybe were good at English, but if somebody said, okay, come up here and diagram a sentence, you'd be like, it's been 42 years since I diagrammed a sentence, so I think I'm just going to sit right back here. Why? Because we haven't done it. But an English teacher that does it every day, man, whoo, yeah, dangling participle over here and a little bit of this over here and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because they use it. So we ought to keep and use. That's what that's talking about. So number one was diligently listen. Diligently keep. Here's one, diligently love. Diligently love. If you love the person that's talking to you, you most likely listen. And then if you love the person that gives you something, you usually keep it. Some of you may not be pack rats. Some of you may be pack rats. You've got stuff from, your first girlfriend ever or your first boyfriend ever. You've had that since kindergarten. All right, just don't let your wife or husband find out. I'm just kidding. But anyway, you keep things. Why? Because that person loves you. And so we ought to diligently listen. We ought to diligently keep. And we ought to diligently love. Deuteronomy 11:13. And it shall come to pass if he shall hearken diligently to my commandments, which I command you. So here's all that. Listen, keep, which I command you this day, to love the Lord thy God and to serve Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So we're supposed to diligently love. For if we diligently keep all His commandments, which He's commanded us, and to do them, we're proving to Him that we love Him and we cleave unto Him. So recap on the first three. We got diligently listen to His voice, to His Word. Diligently keep everything that He's taught you. diligently love Him and serve Him, walk all in His ways, cleave unto Him. That brings us to number four. Number four is this, diligently pray. Diligently pray. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 13:14, then thou shalt inquire. That's a big fancy word for pray. Ask God. Thou shalt inquire and make search and ask diligently. And so again, God wants us to talk to Him. So He allows things to come into our life, not maybe not to force, but to just provide an opportunity for us to talk to Him. He likes that. And again, so like, you know, sometimes we're like, you know, Lord, I'm trying hard and I'm trying to keep and I'm trying this. And He's like, look, I just wanted you to talk to me. Proverbs 7:15, therefore come I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. So again, God wants us to diligently pray. He wants us to diligently talk to Him. Number five. Here's another one we're supposed to diligently deal with sin. Diligently deal with sin. So if we're diligently listening, diligently keeping, diligently loving, diligently praying, even if we're talking about a relationship with somebody else, if we're love somebody and they say, look, this right here bothers me. If you love them, you're like, you ought not say tough. Get over it. Deal with it. No, if you love them, you're like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you, or I didn't mean to cause you to have any. I'll just take care of it. I'll just stop. And that's exactly what this verse is talking about in Proverbs 37:10. For a little while, the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. And so, again, that wicked person that could care less about God, there's going to be a time where they're not anymore. But we ought to diligently consider their place. That person could care less about dealing with their sin. The Bible says a fool makes a mock at sin. You know, they're doing that and kind of flipping their nose at God. I don't really care what you think, God. I mean, there's people like that in this world. And the Bible says right here, diligently consider that person's place. Oh, I don't want to get anywhere close to that. You know, some people say, if I came to your church, the roof would fall off. In other words, what they're saying is, I'm the biggest sinner that I know of, and God would just destroy the church if I came there. Now, that's not true. If you're still breathing, God wants to forgive you. If you have passed that judgment of God, you've blasphemed the Holy Ghost, or you've sinned away your day of grace, you'll know it. All right? But if you're still inhale, exhale, God's got forgiveness. So I'm not saying that these people are done and over with, but what we're supposed to do is consider, I don't want to be in that place. I want to love God. So in other words, if there's something that God points out into me that's sin, it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer, I want to fix it. So a couple points underneath number five, we'll be finished. In other words, what I want to do is stay away. He said, diligently consider that wicked person's place. I don't want to go there. And there's some places in this world that, you know, a Christian has no business going. There's certain areas of towns all over this world that's got sin going on like crazy. Praise the Lord, I don't even know where they are. Praise the Lord, not going there. So I'm considering that. I'm going to stay away from that. Why? Because I don't want to. That's how to deal with your sin. Don't let it get there. The Bible says, "Give no place to the devil." So number two, underneath number five, not only is that should I stay away by diligently considering the wicked people's place, deal with that sin. Deuteronomy 24:8 says this: "Take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe." Diligently, and do according to all that the priest and the Levite shall teach thee. So in other words, when a person got leprosy back in the day, they had to diligently obey the rules. And the rules were, if you have leprosy, if you see somebody, you're walking down this sidewalk, you see somebody coming down this sidewalk, if you have leprosy, you got to get across the street, say unclean, unclean, stay away from them. you had to diligently obey the rules. Then they were like, okay, we'll watch for a couple days. And then if more spots come, then you've got to go outside the camp and you've got to stay out there. And so there was rules that they had to abide by to hopefully get rid of the leprosy. And so again, what I'm supposed to do is diligently deal with sin. In other words, I don't want to go anywhere the devil might be able to tempt me to sin. But then if there is something, if I'm getting leprosy, obviously leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. If I get one spot on it, on me, I want to diligently get it off as quick as possible and not let it spread. Chiggers, I hate them. but if you don't kill them, they're going to spread. You got 3 little red bites. If you don't kill them, you're going to have 19 little red bites. And if you don't kill them, you're going to have 105 red bites. They're just going to keep spreading. So diligently, as soon as I get one, give me some of that medicine. Get rid of it. And that's what he's saying here. Deal earnestly with that sin. If you know something in your life, fix it. Don't let it fester. Don't let it spread. Do whatever the priest says. Do whatever the rules say. Do whatever the doctor says. Just deal with it. Diligently deal with it. Stay away from it. If you know that's there, deal with it. Number 3, Luke 15:8 says this, whatever you lost, get it back. So the Bible says, he that knoweth to doeth good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So for instance, if I say, okay, we know the Bible says go to church. Right? That's a good thing. Right? So if I say, okay, I'm not going to go to church, well, you know it's right to go to church. You know it's good to go to church. Well, yeah, but I'm just not going to. Right? Okay, that becomes a sin. Out there, the people are just, you know, that's not saved. They don't go to church, things like that. Yes, they're on their way to hell, but they're not sinning by not coming to church because they're not saved. But a saved person, he knows what Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together with other believers. We're supposed to do that on the first day of the week. We're supposed to. We're commanded. So for us not to do it, it would be a sin. So if we sin, we need to deal with it. But then if we lost something, Luke 15:8 says this, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently till she finds it. Now, I don't know if you have any silver collections, but you might have a ring, or you might have an earring, or you might have something that you really like, and if you lost it, you would tear your house upside down looking for it and not stopping until you found it. And so that's what it's saying here in Luke 15:8. Diligently deal with your sin. So if there's something that has been in your life and you lose it or you stop doing it, do whatever it takes. Diligently find it. So in other words, if there's a time where the Holy Spirit hadn't spoken to me, I'm like, Lord, why haven't you talked to me lately? What have I done? What do I need to fix? And I'm not leaving until we got this fixed. I'm not leaving until you do that. So if we lose something, like for instance, if we lost our relationship with God, get it back. If we've lost our relationship with a friend, get it back. If we've lost our relationship with a parent, get it back. We can lose our testimony. What do we got to do? Get it back. So for instance, if a person, let's say he's in church and he does something and loses his testimony, all right? Again, the Bible talks about sowing discord. The church ought not put it on social media. You know, Lighthouse Facebook page, Brother So-and-so, you know, said 3 curse words yesterday. We're not going to do that. All right, but Brother So-and-so shouldn't have said those 3 curse words. But he said them in front of everybody at the church. So now, so he's going to feel out of place and awkward when he comes in. And everybody else, you know, might turn pharisaical. You know, I don't say cuss words. I'm a better Christian than him. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to puff up this person, beat this person down. No. Just deal with it diligently. You, on your own, say, I lost my testimony. And I've seen in churches before, my bad, forgive me. Okay, never to be brought up again. That's what God does with sin. That's what we're supposed to do with sin. So, again, if you lose your testimony, get it back. Go to the person that you know, I said that in front of you, or I had that attitude in front of you, or I just wasn't in the right spirit. I'm sorry, my bad, forgive me. And we're going on. Fix it. That's what she did. She lit a candle. She swept the house. She looked diligently for it. So, how do we diligently deal with sin? We stay away from it. We observe diligently all the rules to get rid of the leprosy. If we've lost something, we find it. Diligently. Proverbs 23:1, the fifth thing underneath this. When we sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Right? And this verse talks about, there's verses that says, thou shalt not covet. The Bible says that we ought to, whatever state that we're in, we ought to be content. So when we sit down with a ruler, in other words, we go to somebody's house, and I mean, you know, we're used to paper plates, plastic forks, and they got like china that they've shipped over from, you know, some foreign country, and gold-plated forks, things like that, and their house is like, and you're like, wow. All right, you know, you don't know which fork to pick up because there's 16 of them. And, you know, do I put my pinky out when I drink from this cup or what? You know, some people, when they see that, they're like, man, whatever I got to do, I got to get that. And that's a sin because we're coveting. We're not content where we are. So we have to deal with it. That's what it says. When thou sittest to eat at a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Don't let it go to your head. Again, if God wants to bless me with that, that's fine. So we ought not let things go to our head. I have got to have all that for myself. I've got to do whatever I got to do to get a house like theirs, or a car like theirs, or clothes like theirs. That's what the devil likes to do, is mess with us. Diligently take care of that. Last one, Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up. Obviously, the devil, he'll try to puff you up. He'll try to beat you down. He will try to get you to become bitter. Any little thing. Somebody taking your parking spot. Somebody taking your pew. Somebody saying something harsh. He wants that bitterness to spring up. But what do we have to do? Looking diligently. Nope. I'm not going to be offended. I know the Bible says, great peace that have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Brother Lester Olof said, and Pastor Stanley repeated it, you can't offend a corpse. I'm supposed to die to myself. That's how you deal with it diligently. But what Satan wants to do, he wants to magnify. Brother so-and-so was mad. Mrs. so-and-so had an attitude. They think they're better than you. And they puff that stuff up. But what do? Looking diligently, devil, just get out of here. I'm not going to get bitter. So I'm going to diligently listen. I'm going to diligently keep. I'm going to diligently love God. I'm going to diligently pray. And I'm going to diligently deal with sin when it pops up. It's kind of like whack-a-mole. I don't know if you've ever played it. But if you deal with this sin, guess what? It's going to pop up over here. If you beat the devil in this area, what's he going to do? He's going to pop up with this there. You just keep that mallet ready and diligently whack the snot out of Satan when he pokes his head up. And you diligently whack the snot out of that sin when it tries to offend you and get you. Wah, 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 wah. And, you know, we might see somebody and we're like, what are you doing? I've been playing whack-a-mole. Where? Just don't worry about it. It's something that Pastor said. All right? But man, the devil's coming after me. And my sin is just popping up everywhere. So in conclusion, Deuteronomy 6:7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest about the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou arisest up. And so we're supposed to, all these things, we're supposed to diligently listen. Teach your kids to diligently listen. We're supposed to diligently keep the commandments of God and the statutes and the precepts and all those things, whatever the Bible says, we're supposed to keep it. Teach your kids to keep it. We're supposed to diligently love God. Teach your kids to diligently love God. We're supposed to diligently pray. Teach your kids to diligently pray. We're supposed to diligently deal with sin. Teach your kids to deal diligently with sin. So the word diligently is all through the Bible. And again, doing something diligently wears you out. Causes you to get tired. And so that's why we need to pray and ask God to strengthen us and help us. And so the word diligently, let's live a diligent Christian life. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord. I want to be excited about the Christian life. I want to be excited about being close to you. I want to listen to the Bible and consider the ant. I want to consider whatever you tell me to consider. And Lord, help me to diligently deal with these things that the devil might want to pop up in our life. Lord, help me to diligently learn these things that are in the Word of God that will help me fight him. In Jesus' name, amen.